Those of you on a low-carb lifestyle and a passive investing lifestyle will love this show because it is full of meat. Mad Money Machine. Show 112. Late May. Hi, everybody. This is Paul Douglas Boyer fighting for your financial freedom here on the Mad Money Machine. I thank you so very much for downloading to your iPod, to your Zune, or just listening on your computer. We've got a whole lot to talk about on this show. It is just full of meat, a lot of good stuff. We're going to take your calls, we're going to get your emails, and we're going to find out where to invest your money right now. And we're going to dig down deep, deep, deeper than we've ever gone before. I hope you make it to the end with me. An email. This one's from Paul in San Antonio, Texas. And this is the kind of email that just makes me want to keep doing this podcast. This is what it's all about right here, folks. And he says, "Dear Paul, I'm a recent addict to your podcast. Originally, I was looking for Jim Cramer's podcast after seeing a segment on TV. I typed in Mad Money via iTunes and subscribed to your podcast by accident." I was utterly amazed to hear a collection of investment ideas, economic history, and financial philosophies much different from what I saw on television. I kept thinking to myself, where's the stock picks? What is this about index funds? What do you mean you can't predict market trends? Lazy portfolios? Utterly confused. I immediately downloaded all of your podcasts over the past few weeks. I approached every podcast with an open mind and began looking into index funds on my own. After much research and encouragement from this podcast, you have opened a whole new door to the world of investing. Since I do not have the appropriate experience or investment know-how, I would have made an awful active investor. I'm much safer being lazy and let the index funds make the money for me. With periodic reviews and balances of my portfolio, of course, I believe it is safe to say that you have saved me from being Cramered. Also, I enjoy hearing your investment strategies as well as the opinions and philosophies of other so-called gurus. It helps put together the big picture of investment strategies. Please keep up the good work. By the way, I fast forward through the music when you play an entire song. Well, that's why the fast forward button is there, Paul. I love that email, Paul. That is, I guess, exactly the mission of this podcast, is to help people, save people from being Cramered. If you want to achieve financial freedom, why waste your time? Be lazy. Set it and forget it. Know what risks you should take. Invest accordingly. And then go off and make money doing something else. Love, love, love that email, Paul. Thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
There's never been an iPod that can do this.
Well, I've got this new kick I'm on now. Every time we're out at a restaurant, or we're driving around, or someone asks me a question like, what's the capital of Zimbabwe?
Or this.
I say, well, you know, if I had an iPhone, I could answer that for you. Or they might say, where is our soccer game on May the 28th? I could say, well, you know, if I had an iPhone, I could answer that for you. I could get on the Google calendars and look it up and click and surf the web and have hyperlinks and get all of the answers. I could get out to Wikipedia, and we know that all knowledge in the universe is now codified in Wikipedia. So having an iPhone at your fingertips simply means all of the knowledge of the universe is available at your fingertips from any location on Earth, right? Well, and I've also said, though, that I'm trying to save money. Well, I do have a cell phone service. Now, I've got the cheapest cell phone service that I can get without buying one of those disposable phones, you know. I think I pay something like $33 a month for Sprint service. An iPhone, as I understand it, the service on that comes in at about $60. I'm not sure what's going to happen June 9th when they come out with 3G service. You can imagine they might raise that. But if I cancel my cell phone service and I take the savings that I've got from the Wall Street Journal, that's, we're up to $53 so far. I cut out one of those cable channels, right? That was about $7 or $8. That gets me up to about the $60 that can justify being able to answer anyone's question from anywhere in the country. So I am thinking about getting an iPhone when they come out. I suppose they're going to be announced on June 9th, right? And the other thing I'm thinking about getting, when the budget allows, hold on to your seats for this one. I'm thinking of switching to Macintosh. Mm-hmm. So for the longest time, I have been a Microsoft Windows user. In fact, before that, I've been a DOS user. When they first came out, I had one of those old I-built-it clones with a 10-megabyte hard drive and a big 5 1/4-inch floppy drive with a, I believe it was a green monochrome screen, CGA display. And I've been a fan of Microsoft products all these 25 years or so. And I am finally getting to the point where this is getting stale, this Windows business. Now, I haven't moved to Vista. I just don't feel like that it brings enough benefit over XP at this point. Maybe that's wrong-headed. But I want something that is slick. I used to also use Unix. I've programmed Unix computers. And so the attraction of going to a Macintosh is building for me. And Macintosh and Apple seem to be innovating and expanding the product. I keep listening to Leo Laporte's shows, and maybe that's my mistake, as I listen to his This Week in Tech and I listen to Mac Break Weekly. And here these guys go on and on about the Macintosh and how great it is. So I'm thinking that for my next computer, whenever that might be, whenever this one breaks, I might be switching to Macintosh. I'll let you know what happens. Prediction number 8 has come true of my 10 predictions for 2008. Back on show number 92, just at the end of last year, December 28th, I laid out 10 predictions for 2008. Well, prediction number 8 just came true. A one-stop shop ETF for portfolio fund will appear that gives complete exposure to risk, reward, and diversification, all for a low fee. It will include all of the Smiler components. Remember what Smiler stands for? Small caps, micro caps, international, large caps, emerging markets, and REITs, the acronym Smiler, as well as some bonds and commodities. And I said even private equity and possibly some selected shorts. Well, a short of a bear fund, perhaps. It just came true. PowerShares announced their new PowerShares Autonomic Global Asset Portfolios. These are 3 exchange-traded funds that were launched last Tuesday. And they track indexes of ETFs designed by a Boston-based advisory firm called New Frontier Advisors, which is what NFA stands for in these exchange-traded fund portfolios. Now, what these funds do is they buy a basket of other exchange-traded funds, predominantly ones that PowerShares already puts together. And so, for example, in their PowerShares Autonomic Growth portfolio, which is ticker symbol PTO, it holds about 30 other exchange-traded funds. This is truly a fund of funds. And I guess the idea here is it's a one-stop shop to do your entire portfolio. Could this be the ultimate lazy portfolio? Buy one fund and you're done. Well, I have a posting out at the website that talks more detail. It has a table showing all the components of this. Yeah, one thing I'd like to know is, would you be brave enough to invest all of your net worth, all of your stocks and bonds in one ticker symbol? Well, maybe if you're just starting out, this is a good way to get diversified, right? Until you build up enough net worth to branch out on your own. I just thought you'd want to know that prediction number 8 came true. From my 10 predictions, I expect them all to come true. But the other thing about investing in portfolios is having an advisor help you through the tough times. For example, which one of these three should you buy? What is your real risk capacity? Well, an advisor would help you know that. The second thing about it is, do you know in the bad times, in the down markets, you can actually play a little trick called tax loss harvesting. Now, do they do that within these total fund-to-fund funds? I don't know if they do or not. In fact, I don't think they do. These aren't necessarily tax-managed fund-to-funds. Well, an advisor can help you identify if you've bought some funds that have gone down. They can sell those, acquire the tax loss for you, and move the money into another type of fund that's appropriate for your portfolio. It makes a world of difference. Another thing an advisor can do for you is help make cash flow decisions for you. When you put more money in, where should it go? When you need to take money out, where should it come from? Now, the folks at Index Funds Advisors also have very sophisticated reporting that tracks all of these cash flows, and it tracks exactly the performance of your portfolio. So you know how you're doing. Do you know how well you're actually performing when you take into account all the cash flows and everything? And having a financial advisor like Index Funds Advisors can provide a safe haven for you that is regulatory compliant. They are not trying to shop around mutual funds for you. They're not trying to pick stocks in your account. They're not trying to gamble with your money. They're fiduciary advisors that are looking out for your best interest. And when you add it all up, I think it blows away the small fee they charge. Let's pull something out of the Mad Money Machine tool crib. And it's pretty meaty this time, so put on your thinking caps. The tool this week, it's from IFA, and it's Figure 818. Figure 818, which is entitled The Estimated Average Expected Return Over Market Return for Index Portfolio 90. This one graphic, it gives you so much data on one picture that I've got to explain it for you for a second. If you're driving in the car, obviously you're not going to be able to pull this up, but when you get back to the office or at home, you can click on the link and go right to figure 818 and see what's going on here. Basically, along the x-axis, along the left or right axis, you're going to have a scale of how much growth-weighted your portfolio is versus how much value-weighted your portfolio is. Now, right in the center is where you would have a complete mixture of growth and value, okay, along this scale left to right. So growth on the left, value on the right. Now, going up and down on the y-axis, at the bottom, you have the largest of the large cap stocks in a portfolio. And then going up, you have small cap, and you get to the top, which is the micro cap, the smallest of the small stocks. Now, somewhere on this chart, right in the exact middle of the left and right axis, and somewhere down near the bottom of the up and down y-axis, you have a point. And at that point, that indicates a portfolio that is the entire market. Okay, it's a blend of growth and value, and it's weighted mostly towards the large cap because the large capitalization stocks take up most of the capitalization of the stock market, right? So what we're trying to find out on this chart is at each point on this chart, which represents some mixture, some combination of a portfolio of stocks, What is the expected return above market return? Okay, so at that point where you get market return, it's zero. The market return doesn't beat the market return. The market return is the market return. If we go to the bottom left, then we're going towards left, that's growth. We're going towards bottom, that's large. We get large cap growth. Now, what is the expected return of large cap growth over the market? It's a trick question. It is, if you get the largest and the growthiest of stocks, it's the expected return is minus 4.71% over the total market. These are the enormously well-established companies that don't have a whole lot of risk, actually, in investing in them. Now, as you move to the right, and as you move to the top, as you move more towards value, as you move more towards the smaller companies, the expected return over market return increases. Okay. Now, this chart's completely different than the risk-reward chart that I've been showing with the Sharpe ratio and all that, the efficient frontier chart. No. This one's completely different. This chart shows a mixture of portfolios, a mixture of stocks, and how they might be expected to perform relative to the entire market. Now, let's do another one. As you go all the way to the right to complete value and then large cap, the largest of the large cap that are complete value stocks, maybe dogs of the Dow theory in a sense, has a 2.36% return, expected return, average expected return over the market. Let's try another one. Let's go all the way left again to growth. And all the way to the top, the smallest of the small companies, the tiny little microcap companies, but the growthy microcap companies, right? The ones with they're really on fire and you really should buy these hot microcap companies. Well, the expected return over the market return is 2.33%. But let's go in the best direction of all, a combination of both of these directions. Let's go all the way to the right again for value, and let's go all the way to the top again for the smallest of the small microcaps. The expected return over the market return, 9.4%. An amazing 9.4%. Now, the market return, what is the market return itself? See, that's taken out of this chart. The market return itself has been about 10% over the last 80 or so years, right? So you add the 9.4% of the microcaps plus the 10% of the total market, and you arrive at an expected annualized average return for microcaps of about 19.4%. Well, what IFA is showing on this chart is, where does a really diversified portfolio of stocks that is somewhat weighted towards value stocks and somewhat more weighted towards small cap stocks, where does that fit? And you can see that it is to the right of the market portfolio, and it is above the market portfolio. It is shown to have an expected average annual return over the market return of 3.77%. So this tool this week helps you understand the three factors of expected returns in your portfolio. The three factors are, number one, what market are you in? Are you in the stock market or the bond market? Number two, what is the market capitalization weighting of your portfolio? Do you own mostly large cap companies, small cap companies, or micro cap companies, or a mixture? And number three, are they more value oriented? Is the price on the stock, the price to book value of the stock, is it lower than average? And if you're going to invest in the long term, you want to be upper right in this chart. And you want to combine your portfolio with an estimated risk. You want to look at your portfolio's standard deviation as well. That's probably the most complicated thing I've ever tried to explain on this show so far. So I encourage you to take a look at Figure 818, our tool in the crib this week. And like most of the other tools I've given you so far, this one's free.
That's what I want.
All right, well, so I've told you that I don't get the Wall Street Journal anymore. I do read it online, though. There's a particularly interesting opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal, May 20th, by David Ranson. It's entitled, "You Can't Soak the Rich." And it talks about taxes in this country. And there's a fellow named Kurt Hauser in San Francisco. He's an economist. He said 15 years ago, he published eye-opening data about the federal tax system. His finding is basically this: no matter what rate you tax people at and corporations, 90% or 30%, the revenue that you get from taxes as a percentage of gross domestic product is going to be about 19.5%. It just doesn't matter how much you tax people, you're going to get 19% of the GDP in revenues back. So what is the answer? The bottom line answer is drop taxes as far as you can, grow GDP as high as you can, and simplify the tax code. Hey, we got our economic stimulus check direct deposited the other day. Wow, we're feeling great about that. I think I'm going to go buy an iPhone.
Hey, Paul, this is David over at the Fast Money Machine, and I'm listening to your latest podcast, and I have to say that I'm a little disappointed in your analysis on the trend following and technical analysis piece of your charts there. The beauty of technical analysis is it provides an entry and an exit point. So while you're just looking at simple trends, you draw some lines on your charts and recognize when the trend ends, that's your signal to either get out or to go short. And also you could throw some support resistance lines on there and even throw some Fibonacci retracement. So when you see the pull back to either a 66.618 retracement or a 0.50 retracement, that's your low risk entry to go long. And then you ride that thing high to the Fibonacci extension of 1550 and get out. And that's the beauty of technical analysis, is it's market timing, which I know you don't like, but if you play it right with support and resistance levels and throw a little Fibonacci on top, you got yourself some low-risk entries and some learning when to take profits and not just ride that thing all the way down like you're saying you would have done. So that's my advice to you.
All right, David, thanks for the call. He's referring to a posting I made on May 6th that showed three charts of the S&P 500. You're saying that if I look at a chart of stock prices, say the S&P 500, and I plot some trend lines, and I look at Fibonacci numbers, that I can predict where that market is going to go. Can you point me to a paper that shows statistically that this discipline beats the market over the long term? I would be fascinated to read that. It's not just showing how to do it, how to do trend analysis, or what the technique of Fibonacci retracements are. I want to see that applying this discipline over the long term, let's say over a 20-year period, will achieve returns that beat just a buy-and-hold strategy in the S&P. Maybe let's compare using this technique over 20 years or more versus a buy-and-hold strategy in the S&P 500. I want to know how often that technique worked over rolling 20-year periods in the past. And I'd like to know then what is the expected return over the S&P market return. And then, of course, I want to know what the costs are of trading in and out of the market like that. And it doesn't count to say, oh, I know one guy that was successful at it. I want to see science that proves that this will work any time in the past and any time in the future. Got an email from Dominic in Germany. It says, "Hi Paul, I'm a listener from Germany and enjoy every episode of your show. In a few months I will have my university diploma and hopefully start to work. I'm thinking about investing a part of my future salary in index funds." He says, "But index funds are relatively new in Germany and there are many very small funds in the market. How is your experience with small funds in the U.S.? Are they closed by the banks? How can I be sure that a two-year-old index fund will be there for 20, 30, or 40 years? Thanks, Dominic. You know what, Dominic? There is something available to you, something available just about all over the globe, and that is the iShares exchange-traded funds. These are index funds also. Okay, index funds don't have to be mutual funds. Index funds can be these exchange-traded funds. How do you buy them? Well, you need to open a brokerage account somewhere. And so, of course, the first thing to do to invest properly in index funds, Dominic, and I say this till I'm blue in the face, is take the risk capacity survey at IFA.com and come up with one of those numbers between 5 and 100 that is your proper risk capacity. Now, you may be needing the money sometime soon after you get out of college, right? You may need to be buying a house or something, and so you don't want to put everything into equities in that case. But in the case that you do, then you may need a higher, you may be able to get into a higher risk portfolio, all the way up from 90 to 100, something like that. So wherever you end up, let's just imagine, I'm not recommending this, but let's imagine that you end up in portfolio 90. You can go out to IFA.com. You can click on that gold 90 button. All right, and that takes you to portfolio 90. Now look inside this page. You're going to have two golden tab areas there that start with indexes, top 10 holdings, return matrix, and fact sheet. That's the first row of tabs. And underneath that is a second row of tabs that says taxable accounts, IRA accounts, taxable and IRA accounts, and so forth. If you go over to where it says Diversified Index Managers and click on that one, it takes you to a new page. And this shows how to implement Portfolio 90 using other index funds. And you can click right there. You can see just above the table, it says IFA Diversified Index Managers Implementation, Compare Indexes, and click on the iShares Exchange Traded Funds link. And that will take you to a Acrobat document, a PDF document, that shows the comparison of Portfolio 90 implemented with Dimensional Fund Advisors funds versus the one implemented with iShares Exchange Traded Funds. If you go to page 2 then, you'll see that iShares has an S&P 500 index, ticker IVV. They have a Russell 1000 value index, ticker IWD, a Russell 2000 index, IWM, a Russell 2000 value, IWN. They've even got a REIT fund, ICF. They've got a Europe, Asia, and Far East fund, ticker EFV. They've got an emerging markets fund, EEM. And they've got a couple of treasury bond funds, SHY and IEI. So if you can get a brokerage account, you can start investing in these ticker symbols. Alternatively, if you can get a brokerage account that allows you to buy mutual funds from Vanguard, or if you can set up a Vanguard account overseas, which I don't know if you can or not, but it will allow you to make commission-free, in most cases, deposits into your mutual funds. Thank you for the email, Dominic. Best of luck to you. Stay invested. I talked about getting an iPhone. I'd like for you to take out your cell phone right now. Pull it up. I want to know, I've done this before. I'd like for you to tell me, when you dial a number on your phone, look at the number 4. Is it one of those closed number 4s, or is it an open number 4? You know, where you have like two prongs at the top, or is it one that just comes to a point at the top? What kind of font is the number 4 on your cell phone? And while you're looking at that dial pad, type in these numbers, 206-734-4763, and then press send or okay or whatever, and call me at the voicemail line, 206-734-4763. Program that into your phone's contact list so that you can call me at any time. Anytime you've got an idea or a thought or a comment, or, hey, Paul, just thought you'd want to know this and such. Call me, leave a voicemail, and maybe I'll play it on the show. Are you going to be anywhere at all near Irvine, California on June 3rd. If you are, I'm so jealous of you because, first of all, it's going to be great weather. You just got to know that. And second of all, you're going to be near IFA's Lunch and Learn Seminar. Go to their website and click at the top banner there. They're going to have an in-person seminar where you can learn about lazy investing. Make sure you call them first. Let them know you're coming so they can have all the lunch available for you and go see them. And when you go to this seminar, would you do me a favor? Please tell them I sent you, Paul Douglas Boyer at the Mad Money Machine. They'll get a big kick out of it. And then let me know how it went. I'll get a big kick out of it too. Now, you may be wondering, why is it if I recommend Index Funds Advisors so heavily, them being a sponsor of the show and all, why do I do my investing myself? Well, it boils down to this one simple and unfortunate fact, and that is regulatory compliance. If I was a customer, if I was an investor with IFA, I think the SEC and the feds wouldn't look too kindly on me providing testimonials about their service. And so since I'm detached from them, I can recommend them to you. Isn't that silly? Isn't that dumb? Why is there so much government meddling into what I can say and can't say? And why can't I invest in IFA? So for me, I should stop doing this show. It's in my best interest to stop doing this show and put my money with Index Funds Advisors. And then I can set it and forget it. And you know what the benefit to me would be? I don't have to look at the markets. I don't have to talk about funds anymore. I can set it and forget it. I can completely ignore our finances for years at a time. And maybe that would be the best thing for me to do. Now, on the other hand, maybe I've found my calling in life, and I'll take one for the team. Thank you so very much for joining me here on the Mad Money Machine. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes being full of meat to make a Mad Money Machine. I will see you next Friday. I sure hope that you will go to the show notes of this show and look at the figures that I've put in there from IFA. These are meaty, meaty charts that really explain what is going on in investing. You truly can set it and forget it for 20 years. And you know what? In a sense, you can beat the market if you small cap value tilt your portfolio. I would appreciate your calls. I hope you plugged that number into your cell phone. Give me a call at the voicemail line, 206-734-4763. Send me an email, feedback@madmoneymachine.com. I occasionally make a posting out at Twitter, twitter.com/madmoneymachine. Make a comment in the show notes and visit the website madmoneymachine.com. Thank you so very much. Stay invested, everybody.